Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I'm back with another video, and this is the Grim, well, it's the Games and Rants show, technically, because I'm not really sure how we're going to go about doing this. We kind of fucked things up a little bit because we wanted to do a fun show yesterday, and we just talked about things. So we technically had a Games and Rants show yesterday, and this would be the Grim Article show that I would normally have with DP. He's not here, but I am. And despite that I'm a little under the weather, it's that time of year, happens every fucking year, get mucus in my chest and all that, we're going to continue. Okay, so, starting off with, to be honest, let's go through the first couple things I need to, because I got a little bit of housekeeping before we get started. For those of you that won't watch the video where we just kind of played Asterix and Obelix, then I will go ahead and just explain what information I got from my sponsor. That's Spinning Robot Pussy. But he's got a new item, and we'll talk about that for just a little bit. He says here that, well, more or less, I fucked up when it came to tech articles. You know, he's a roboticist, so he knows a lot more about this stuff than I do. And he was, you know, listening to my show and noticed that I had done a lot of pop science articles, and a lot of this stuff is written for entertainment value, and it's not actually true. It's fun for entertainment, but again, it's not realistic, and it doesn't represent where robotics actually are. He knows where robotics are. He's actually worked in that field. Also, he's developing a new product called Follow Me Eyes, and he's going to send me a pair for testing, so I will let you guys know all about the Follow Me Eyes. And you can get them at spinningrobotpussy.com/eyes. There's several different little pairs. Some of them have slits. And basically you put them in your doll and the eyes will follow you around. Just like a creepy little doll. I love it. I think it's great. So if you want that little, you know, that little feature where your doll's eyes are following you around, which I think is great, go ahead and grab that at spinningrobotpussy.com/eyes. And don't forget about the original spinningrobotpussy.com as well. But he says, the frog thing that I covered on December the 4th. From a robotics perspective, self-replicating robots from raw materials have mostly been theory, but they never leveraged biomechanics, and yet it isn't quite reproducing like a frog either. If you consider that GMOs are man-made things that reproduce, this might be more of a GMO biology invention than in robotics. I think it's impressive, although I'd have to read the paper. Sophia, if you guys remember that article I wrote about Sophia that said she wanted a family. Sophia says whatever the programmers tell her to say, albeit with extra steps. The programmers were probably like, it would get a lot of publicity if she said she wanted children. And then one of two things happened. A, the programmers just outright made her say it. B, Sophia's programmed to say whatever is expected based on a data set. If her data set includes I like donuts as a response to everything, then she's going to think that I like donuts is a valid response to everything. The programmers probably fed her a ton of texts when people were talking about wanting a family. On that note, Kajiwoto is amazing. Okay? That is our sponsor at spinningrobotpussy.com. Okay, so what else do I have to promote real quick? Dragon's Treasure. You can get the Dragon's Treasure tea. He has been going through some money issues. I guess it's hard to get that tea business really rolling, but if you like anime-inspired tea, you can go to dragonstreasure.com and pick yourself up anime-inspired tea. It's great for your visual novel experiences. I highly recommend it. And as far as visual novel news, Manga Gamer is releasing deep discounts every day for the next 12 days as part of 12 Days of VNs. I got Eroge, which is a $44 game, for just $9. Very, very, very cool, guys. So go ahead and grab that one. Well, that one's no longer available. They did Musicus. Musicus was pretty cheap. I think it was 50% off. And then they're doing A Kiss for the Petals, Maidens of something or other. Not my kind of thing, but if you like that, you can pick that one up today. They always do one every day for the next 12 days. They're very deep discounts. So check that out. I haven't, I don't think, oh, there's not really much else to say. You know, GOG's having its winter sale. They re-released Scrapland Remastered. That's got your robot waifus in it. They're not, you know, your Western robot waifus, but if you want robot waifu titties, they're actually in the game. But no, it's a classic American McGee game. I don't think it was made for kids. I think it's more a mature audience type game. You have to solve like a murder, and you play as like a bunch of different robot characters. So if you like that, it's been fully remastered. They fixed the netcode. So you can play it online, and, you know, of course, other than the graphics, they also fixed the controls, which were pretty fucking awful in the original. Believe me, I could tell you, I played it, and I was wore out on it quickly because it was very hard to control. So they've got it working, and more or less you will see footage of that here very soon, because I want to finish that game. Alright, now, enough with all this, the sponsors. Let's get with the articles. All right. No. They want me to do that. Making sure I didn't lose anybody. Okay, good. Okay, so, got an article here from the National Pulse. Facebook just admitted in court that its fact checks are just third-party opinions. Yeah, I saw something about this today. Facebook, aka Meta, has admitted in court that the fact checks used by the site to blacklist non-corporate media content are actually opinion-based labels which do not contain any real fact-checking of information posted to the site. The evidence was revealed during the court proceeding for a defamation case filed by John Stossel. And, hold on folks, let me make sure my dumbass is recording this. Yes, I am. Okay. Stossel's work on climate change was labeled by Facebook as false and misleading. In response to Stossel's suit, Facebook wrote that the company cannot be sued for defamation in relation to the fact-checking. Defamation is defined as making false and harmful assertions. Under this definition, Facebook argued that the fact-checking and associated labels on the posts across their sites constitute protected opinion. In the United States legal system, opinions are not subject to defamation claims. I didn't figure. Libel law protects opinions, which is the basis of Facebook's defensive claim. The definition of opinion is a viewer judgment formed about something, not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. By their own lawyers' arguments, Facebook's fact checks are little more than the politically based opinions held by Facebook employees and or third-party companies hired to undertake the fake fact-checking process on all posts. Well, yeah, we kind of gathered this when they started fact-checking absolute bullshit that, like, didn't even make any sense. It's like, why does this need to be fact-checked? Why are you fact-checking dumb shitpost memes? Like, there were some literal non-political shitpost memes that they started fact-checking for no reason. By their own lawyers' arguments, Facebook's okay, we talked about that. Former CNN employee dominated firms like Lead Stories. Oh, fuck that. Lead Stories is awful. They're actually their headquarters is in Belgium. And they have a bunch of followers. Like, they have a ridiculous amount of followers. However, nobody comments on anything. Nobody comments on anything. Nobody likes anything. It's just like one day they just grabbed a whole bunch of bots. And, maybe they use that software that, like, makes it so you have way more likes. Because I've seen that software before. People have been using that software. And I think that's what happened. I really think that's what happened. So many people jumped on there and, so many robots jumped on there that it boosted their account, their subscriber count up so that they would be reputable even though they don't post anything. And I even think I checked their Twitter and I found the same pattern. Nobody is liking that stuff. Like, nobody's liking, nobody's... Oh, and they've tried to comment, but they delete the comments. So people that try to comment are probably saying how much it's bullshit, and they're deleting the comments. You can tell they've deleted the comments. So it's just a really sketchy organization all the way through. Lead Stories is absolute garbage. And what sucks is there's sites that are reputable that actually promote them. Like, if you check, like, political fact check bias or something like that. There's one site I remember that Carolla used to determine what was real and fake as far as biases. And they say, oh, it's the most non-biased. No, I don't know about that. I don't know if I trust that site anymore now either. Lead Stories is now formally linked to the Chinese Communist Party through its partnership with TikTok parent company ByteDance. Oh my. The firm listed in Stossel's lawsuit, Climate Feedback, Science Feedback, is also a Facebook partner, as confirmed through the site's own fact-check webpage, which links 103 verified partners of a group called the International Fact-Checking Network. Facebook admits that they work with independent IFCN certified fact checkers. How do you apply to be one of these goddamn people? Who identify, review, and rate viral information across Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp from more than 80 countries, and that Facebook depends on these third-party groups to review and rate the accuracy of information. In their court defense, however, Facebook lawyers admit that Stossel's claims on the fact-check articles written by Climate Feedback. Hold on. Let's redo that. Stossel's claims focus on the fact-check articles written by Climate Feedback, not the labels affixed to the Facebook platform. The labels themselves are neither false nor defamatory. To the contrary, they constitute protected opinion. They go on to state, first, Meta is alleged only to have superimposed a fact-checking label on the fire video, describing Climate Feedback's conclusion that the video was missing context. Stossel does not claim that label is actually false, presumably because it is protected opinion. The conclusion that the video is missing context is nearly a judgment call, one that is not capable of verification or refutation by means of objective proof. Facebook's attorneys may have felt that their claim of opinion would have been a quick way to get out of the Stossel lawsuit, but the long-term ramifications of such a statement calls into further question that the fact-checking process and implications for Facebook if third-party advocacy groups are allowed to opine in a fact check for the company without having to cite any facts. Alongside the topic of climate change, Facebook claims it has been combating COVID-19 misinformation and working to connect people to accurate information from health authorities. Wilmer Cutler Pickering, Hale and Doar's filing against Stossel renders the statement questionable at best. The National Pulse will be breaking new information on this Tuesday, December the 14th. Facebook's fact-checking services have been called out for stoking a civil war in Ethiopia. Whoa! Got them starving Marvins fighting each other. When freelance journalists publish stories and post them to Facebook, the work is listed as hate speech and defamation. Facebook allows for pro-government accounts, some with well over 200,000 followers, to post photographs of journalists and to openly call for their arrest, none of which is fact-checked, according to Vice News. Wow. Okay, we've got another article here. Give it a second. Huffington Post. I'm black, but I look white. Here are the horrible things white people feel safe telling me. How is she black? I don't get it. That's the whitest black woman I've ever seen. Many of these people are educated and hold jobs or positions that give them some form of influence or power over black people. I was outside my house gardening a few weekends ago when my neighbor... Hold on, let me make sure this isn't 80 million paragraphs of how I'm not white. Oh my god, it is literally 80 million paragraphs of how I'm not white. I will not suffer you through all of this, folks. I was outside my house gardening a few weekends ago when a neighbor who I'd known for almost 30 years stopped by so I could pet his large fluffy dogs. I took my gloves off, squatted down to give the dogs a really good scratching around their ears, and felt the sun on my back. What could be better? And then my neighbor said, "Why do you have a Black Lives Matter sign on your front lawn when all those people do is kill each other?" My lovely day screeched to a halt. You know I'm black, right? Really? Like, how are you black? Now, technically being black means that you have melanin in your fucking skin, lady. You know I'm black. You know I'm also the King of England. I happen to be the King of England, the Prime Minister of France, and the, I guess the President of the United States while we're at it, huh? Is anybody can seem to get that job now. I said, standing up as tall as my 5'4 frame would allow, the sun shining on my blonde hair. Lol. I'm black with my blonde hair. Do you have blue eyes too? I gotta know. I can't really see. It's like they've got her eyes. Look blue to me. I continued to pet his dogs because I needed the comfort of petting dogs at that moment because I needed to keep my hands busy so that they didn't slap that man's face. After the usual back and forth of him saying no and me saying yes and then him trying to gauge exactly how black I was by asking which of my parents was black and me replying both, we had a very uncomfortable conversation about racism. I told him about my father's struggles to get education because guidance counselors and admissions agents would not accept black people into community colleges or SUNY programs in the 50s and 60s. I told him even though my father was a veteran, he could not be approved to use the GI Bill for college to buy a house since no one would process his paper because he was a black man. I told him that people painted "Go Home" on the back of our home when my parents finally saved enough money to build a house in the suburbs of Syracuse, New York. And I told him how Black Lives Matter calls attention to the fact that black people are considered less than white people and that needs to stop. I also told him if people don't understand Black Lives Matter, black police will continue to be murdered by the police and denied opportunities by the establishment. What? We will not be allowed to participate in the American dream and we will be made to feel that it is somehow racist or our fault. Hold on. Hold on. And we'll be made to feel that this is somehow our fault when it is in fact the fault of a racist society with full support of our government. This isn't the first time I've had to have this conversation. Encounters like this have been going on for a long time. The author's parents on their wedding day in 63. Yeah, a black man didn't marry a black woman. Okay, well, both of my parents are black, but we have white ancestors. Those recessive white genes were passed on to me, and I was born very light skin with blue eyes and light wavy hair. This was not a surprise. Both of my parents' families, there were white babies who pop up each generation. I have aunts, uncles, and cousins on both sides of my family who are also white presenting. The fuck is white presenting? I'm gonna be black presenting. I present as black. Can we do that now? Is there such thing as fucking, I guess transracial exists. Every time somebody says, okay, alright folks, this is what we do. Next time somebody says, well, you got privilege. And say, how so? I present as white. I'm not white. I only present as white. I deal with the same struggles and hardships as everyone else. I just happen to have a different color. But, you know, I'm as black as you are. And you know what? I had a black man actually tell me that I was black. Yeah, this is real. Not giving you guys bullshit. I was working at my job one day, and the guy told me, we were walking around, and he said, man, he said, you're just as much of an N as the rest of us. Like, you know, with an A, you know they don't say, like, black, but they said, you're just as much of an N as the rest of us. I don't see no difference. It's like, we all N back here. So, I mean, I guess I get my card now? I don't know. I ain't asked for it, y'all. Don't worry, I ain't asked for it. There's the story of my grandmother's cousin Neville, who left the family in the 40s to pass for white so he could join the army and fight World War II. He married a German girl, returned to Syracuse, and never returned to being black. Family members would see him on the streets and they would look past each other. He was lost to us because he chose an easier way and forsook his ancestry. Neville became a cautionary tale for me. I never wanted to be like him. Well, I tell you what, she's just going to talk about how damn, that's all she's talking about. Listen to this shit. Dr. King was who we strive to be. Even at 4 years old, I knew who he was. I was black with my blonde braids and my sparkling new outfit from Sears. What? This don't make any sense. White people think I'm white, too. They tell me they don't understand why black neighborhoods look so ghetto and black people are animals or thugs. Many of those people are educated, hold jobs and positions, give them some form of influence over black people. How in the world, like, she's just some weird fucking woman that presents as a... it don't make any sense to me. How can you be black? Or, I mean, I don't know. Like, how can you be black and look white? Like, it don't make any sense. Like, it's like, I'm black, but I look white. I don't know how in the world it works. It's just weird, man. I'm a millionaire, but I present as poor. YouTube banned ghost gun videos. What the fuck is a ghost gun? Authorities investigate a man suspected of trafficking ghost guns in September tailed a white GMC truck to a Home Depot parking lot, New Jersey, closing in as he left the store. Inside his truck, investigators found more than a dozen ghost gun kits, which authorities can say can be built into functioning untraceable firearms within hours or even minutes. Ah. The man, who William R. Pilius, 23, whose attorney declined to comment, is accused of planning to build the kits into 90mm handguns and sell at least some of them, according to state indictment in New Jersey. In his basement apartment in New York. And, hold on. In his base apartment in Lincoln Park, authorities found an AR-style ghost rifle and handwritten instructions on how to build the handguns. The source of Pilius' gun-building knowledge, authorities allege, YouTube. The internet has made proliferation of homemade weapons a vexing problem for law enforcement officials across the country, who have linked them to mass shootings, attacks on police, and drug and gang killings in recent years. More than 3 years after YouTube tightens its gun content restrictions, an NBC News review found dozens of videos with more than 4.6 million combined views showing how to assemble ghost guns, which remain largely unregulated in most states and are nearly impossible to trace because they lack serial numbers. NBC sent links to 6 videos which combined accounted for more than 1.2 million hits to YouTube's parent company, Google, seeking comment on how it enforces its firearms policy. YouTube removed the videos within hours and said users have to comply with guidelines prohibiting videos that show to make firearms. But dozens of similar videos remain on the site, some on the same channel as the ones YouTube took down. The videos were posted from 2013 to 2021 and they have drawn more than 1,000 views to more than 500,000. The availability of videos on YouTube showing how to build guns alarmed some former law enforcement officials and gun control advocates who called for the company to more proactively police the platforms. What does it say about your corporate moral leadership if you cannot live up to your own corporate ideals, said MSNBC analyst Jim Cavanaugh, former special agent with the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and Explosives, or ATF. It's really kind of sad if you think about it. YouTube said in a statement that with more than 500 hours of comment being uploaded to the site every minute, it largely relies on advanced machine learning and reports from users to flag videos that may violate its policies. Employees then review the videos to determine whether they should be removed. Okay. Well, I mean, you really can't fight the algorithm. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Okay. Next article. Ubisoft announced Quartz, a blockchain-powered NFT cosmetic system. Play 600 hours of Ghost Recon Breakpoint to claim a helmet you can sell for crypto. That's a bunch of bullshit. I didn't even have to tell you that's a bunch of bullshit. Ubisoft has announced its first foray into the world of blockchain technology and NFTs. Called Ubisoft Quartz, it will offer limited edition cosmetic items for Ubisoft games that can be resold on third-party marketplaces for cryptocurrency. It will launch in beta on December 9th, starting with items for Ghost Recon Breakpoint. The NFT items that Ubisoft Quartz offers are called Digits, and each is a limited edition in-game cosmetic item. Every digit is made unique by a serial number that will be visible on the item. For example, a rifle may have its number on the magazine, or a helmet could be engraved across the rim. Furthermore, embedded in the digits metadata is your Ubisoft Connect username. As a digit is sold to new owners, their usernames are added to the metadata, creating a history of ownership for the NFT. In addition to the in-game cosmetic item, a digit also comes with a video with a video file showing the item being used in-game. When Ubisoft Quartz launches on December 9th, 3 digits will be available for Ghost Recon Breakpoint, whatever, Wolf Skin, blah 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 blah. Okay, the approach aims to ensure digits are obtained by genuine Ubisoft players and not those just looking to trade with them on third-party marketplaces. Users are also limited to owning just one of each digit, further reinforcing scarcity and denying the ability to farm collectibles. Should all of this be of interest, signing up for Ubisoft Quartz comes with a number of requirements. You'll need to have a Connect account, open up a crypto wallet, third-party system, either Kukai or Temple, and be over 18 years of age. The beta is also available in select country, only available in select territories, Canada, USA, Brazil, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, Belgium, and Australia. Ubisoft will launch, Quartz will launch in beta, and while there are plans for further digit drops in 2022, it's clear the system is very early in development and experimental in nature. This means at least for now the focus is on cosmetics rather than any kind of blockchain-based gameplay systems. We're really focused on cosmetics only, says Chardon. I doubt it would change any existing game. What we're doing now, there'd be no impact on gameplay. But why do they want to get into the blockchain and NFT business? Well, the publisher's Strategic Innovation Lab says it's to do with making players stakeholders and putting value in their hands. Our long-term efforts lead us to understand how blockchain's decentralized approach could generally make players stakeholders of our games in a way that is also suitable for our industry, placing back into the hands the value they generate through the time they spend, the items they buy, or the content they create online, said Nicholas Poard, VP of Ubisoft's Strategic Innovation Lab, in a press release. Ubisoft Quartz is the first building block in our ambitious vision for developing a true metaverse. From an outside perspective, it's initially difficult to see what Ubisoft can gain from this. With the NFTs being given away for free, at least in this first drop, the publisher stands to make no direct money. However, the value for the company may come from beyond the NFTs themselves. Should future digits also require hundreds of hours of gameplay to unlock, this could be a way to encourage a pro-NFT crowd to pay huge amounts of play huge amounts of Ubisoft games, which could lead to the purchase of microtransaction items, DLC upgrades, and even other games. The decentralized nature of digits means they could theoretically move from game to game. An even more pressing question is that of Ubisoft Quartz environmental impact. Yep, that'll well fuck that up. Earlier this year, Ubisoft announced its blockchain plans with the term play to earn, a concept we can see in action with Ubisoft's demands for hundreds of hours played to unlock its digits. While the company's move in the blockchain is the first in the AA space, the games industry has, or the AAA space rather, the games industry has already begun toying with the idea. Well, that's not fucking good. Valve has stamped down on the concept with Steam banning blockchain games that issue NFTs. Epic Games, meanwhile, is okay with blockchain games. I don't know, man. Some really slippery shit, I think. And it's gonna make people want to buy the fucking microtransactions. It's like gambling. It's worse than microtransactions. Like, now you're gonna make people want to have them fucking things. It's the weirdest shit ever, folks. Alright, what else have we got? What the fuck? Here's one. Definitely drinking my whiskey for this. California man arrested after girlfriend he allegedly tortured and held captive for a month escapes. Well, I wouldn't recommend that. The Stanislaus County Sheriff's Office reported that Saul Ortega, 29-year-old Modesto resident, was arrested for multiple charges, including kidnapping and torture of his girlfriend, a 25-year-old Modesto resident. The female reported being held against her will for approximately 1 month. On Saturday, December the 4th, at about 1:30 in the morning, the Fresno County Sheriff's Office contacted the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Office requesting a security check of an adult female after she said she had been held against her will and tortured in Stanislaus County by her new boyfriend, Ortega. Patrol deputies were able to locate the female, who had escaped Ortega Thursday afternoon. She had extensive injuries to her body, including bruises and burns, and was transported to an area hospital for treatment. The female did not immediately call police because Ortega threatened her and her family. Detectives from the Crimes Against Person Unit responded and took over the investigation. and were assisted by the SWAT team, Special Investigations Unit, Crime Scene Investigation, and Unmanned Aerial System team. At about 8:45 in the morning, the SWAT team responded to the 1,000 block of Paradise Road to serve an arrest warrant for Ortega and searched the warrant of the residence. Ortega was located and arrested, and an elderly female was also detained but later released after cooperating with detectives. Ortega was arrested for kidnapping, false imprisonment, rape, torture, mayhem, domestic violence, criminal threats, possession of cocaine with the intent to sell, and felon in possession of firearms. He's currently being held on $1 million $1 million bond, or bail rather, at the Stanislaus County Public Safety Center. There's reason to believe Ortega may have victimized others. If you believe you or someone you know is a victim or have any information regarding this investigation, call the detective. You can also make an anonymous tip by calling Crime Stoppers. So, this is probably some guy that's doing a trafficking thing, folks. It sounds like. It sounds like they're trying to break the victims down and then traffic them. Like mind break shit, but real. Oof. Yeah, it's not so good when it happens in the real world. Like, I don't know. Pretty crazy. Okay. Got another one here. Governor of Maine activates National Guard to staff hospitals after firing unvaccinated healthcare workers. Okay. Maine Governor Janet Mills on Wednesday activated the National Guard to staff hospitals after firing unvaccinated healthcare workers. What does the fucking National Guard know about working in a hospital? Recall Governor Janet Mills in August announced that healthcare workers in Maine must be fully vaccinated by October 29th. The Liberty Council filed a lawsuit on behalf of approximately 2,000 healthcare workers in August. On October 29th, the U.S. Supreme Court in a 6-3 vote rejected the healthcare workers' request. Three conservative justices, Neil Gorsuch, Clarence Thomas, and Samuel Alito, said they would have ruled in favor of the Christian group seeking relief from the COVID vaccine mandate. Hospitals in Maine are now understaffed due to Mills' COVID vaccine mandate. Okay. It says that Governor Janet Mills announced Wednesday she is activating the Maine National Guard to augment short healthcare staffing and requesting federal help for two beleaguered hospitals and amid a record COVID-19 surge. Where? It was an extraordinary response coming as Maine hospitals struggle with a surge of patients that have pushed many to capacity or just below it. Maine called upon the National Guard last year to help stand up temporary hospitals in the event hospitals were overwhelmed, but those measures were never put in place. The number of open beds statewide is the lowest it has been during the coronavirus pandemic. In hospitals, Guard members will be administering monoclonal antibodies, a therapy aimed at treating more serious cases of COVID, to free up critical care space. These Guard members will be deployed to hospitals starting next week through the end of January. Okay. Old news, but good for the new generation to know. Holy crap. This is old as shit. Bush rejects Taliban offer to hand bin Laden over. Look, Hoshioni sent me this. He said it's good for the new generation to know. If you already know this stuff, skip this one. But I'm going to read a little bit of it. 9:30 p.m. update. Taliban demand evidence of bin Laden's guilt. Second week of airstrike starts. Taliban urges U.S. to halt bombing. Former President George Bush rejected as non-negotiable an offer by the Taliban to discuss turning over bin Laden if the United States ended the bombing in Afghanistan. Really? I didn't know he did that. So he rejected the offer to turn over bin Laden. The Taliban were going to just give him to us, and he rejected it. Returning to the White House after weakening Camp David, the president said the bombing would not stop unless the ruling Taliban turned bin Laden over, turned his cohorts over, and any hostages. There's no need to discuss innocence or guilt. We know he's guilty. In Jalalabad, Deputy Prime Minister Haji Abdul Kabir, the third most powerful figure in the ruling Taliban regime, told reporters the Taliban would require evidence that bin Laden was behind September 11 terrorist attacks in the U.S., but added we would be ready to hand him over to a third country. The offer came a day after the Taliban supreme leader rebuffed Bush's second chance for the Islamic militia to surrender bin Laden to the U.S. Mullah Muhammad Omar said there was no move to hand anyone over. Taliban ready to discuss bin Laden handover if bombing halts. The Taliban would be ready to discuss handing over bin Laden to a neutral country of the U.S., or a country if the U.S. halted the bombing of Afghanistan, a senior Taliban official said today. Afghanistan's Deputy Prime Minister Haji Abdul Kabir told reporters that the Taliban would require evidence that bin Laden was behind it. Okay. Well, we got it. So, yeah, basically they were going to hand him over all that time ago, and Bush is like, nope. Okay, got some crime stories. People. Dominatrix lured man to treehouse and fatally stabbed him, then wrote she was turned on. Yep. Like, that sounds like Dark Arrow gay. Julia Enright, 24, was accused of fatally stabbing Brandon Chiklis, 20, in a treehouse near her Massachusetts home on June 23rd, 2018. Well, look at her. Of course she's going to be turned on by that. It's like I was playing Dominance. It's like, how dare you talk? Who told you you could fucking talk? Who told you could talk, slave? You signed a contract. And then she kicks him. Oh, yeah, they kick the shit out of you. They'll kick you, they'll punch you. Because he's like, well, maybe if I try to talk, I can explain my situation. Who told you could talk? Like, yeah, that's the kind of shit we're talking about, folks. And they gave Kimiko super strength. So she's just able to take this man and manhandle him. Because she's got fucking super strength. In this alien world, they gave her like some ability where she could just take a full-grown man and put him in a position that he doesn't need to be in. Like, it's some crazy shit, guys. I don't know if we'll ever get that shit translated, but we need to, because it's unreal. But, yeah, that's what we're talking about here with the kind of dom shit. I mean, that's what the game's called, Dominance. A Massachusetts woman was found guilty this week of second-degree murder in the killing of her former classmate. Julia Enright was accused of fatally stabbing Brandon Chiklis in a treehouse near her Ashburn home on June 23rd of 2018. Man, it's a long damn time ago. Well, not that long ago, but, you know, before the 20s. After the murder, Enright wrapped his body in a blue tarp and then dumped it along a highway in New Hampshire. During the trial, prosecutors argued that Enright, a phlebotomist, dominatrix, and Marilyn Manson fan... Who gives a shit if she's a Marilyn Manson fan? I'm a Marilyn Manson fan. Was obsessed with grave robbing, death, and blood, and wrote about her fascination in journal entries, some of which were read in court. I just have an insatiable curiosity to kill a person, read one journal. Oh, it's gonna be there. I just have an insatiable curiosity to kill a person, read one journal entry, according to CBS4 Boston. Prosecutors alleged the killing of Chiklis, a former Boy Scout and an HVAC technician, was a gift to her boyfriend, Associated Press reports. What? A gift? It was a form of a present, she allegedly wrote on her MacBook 5 days after the slaying. I did it just for him. That was my intention. She also referred to being turned on by the event, the Telegram and Gazette reports. Prosecutors who argued that Enright lured Chiklis, who she had once dated in high school, to the treehouse for a sexual encounter, the Telegram Gazette reports. First, Assistant District Attorney Jeffrey Travers alleged that Enright enjoyed manipulating him by pulling him in and then pushing him away, and then she had a special kind of hatred for him, the Telegram Gazette reports. Before they met up, Enright allegedly told Chiklis on Facebook Messenger to keep their meeting a secret, and she had a surprise for him. He agreed to keep quiet about their encounter, prosecutors said. Prosecutors said that around the same time she was messaging Chiklis, she sent her boyfriend a text that read, "Do you think we could add bubbles to a bloodbath?" Lol. Oh my god, this is starting to sound like a fucking dark hour gay. Like, that's fine in fiction, but not in real life, folks. Like, you're supposed to, oh my god, that's shocking. But then when you see it in real life, you're like, oh my god, that really did happen. Some dude's actually dead. This isn't a character in a game, it's real. Wow. Okay. Before Chiklis arrived at the treehouse, she covered the floor with a blue tarp and white comforter, prosecutors said, according to the Telegram and Gazette. Once there, she stabbed him multiple times and then enlisted her boyfriend to help her dispose of his body. Of course she did. Chiklis' body was found almost 3 weeks later by a jogger. Not that kind of jogger. Prosecutors said Enright tried to cover her tracks after the murder by Facebook messaging him the same night and asking him why he didn't show up at their meeting spot. Enright took the stand in her own defense and claimed that she killed Chiklis in self-defense after she planned to have sex with him but changed her mind. He just wasn't stopping and I pulled the knife out, she said, the union leader reports. Enright's sentencing is scheduled for January the 18th. Wow. Bomb squad called the hospital after man reportedly had... What? Bomb squad called the hospital after man reportedly had World War II mortar stuck up his butt. What? A bomb squad... Hold on. Are you not going to let me read it? Maybe not. Okay, here we go. A bomb squad was called to a UK hospital after a man said he had a World War II mortar shell stuck in his rear, reported by The Sun. According to reports, the man was a military enthusiast who had military collectibles and slipped and fell on the... Sure he did. You slip, fall, land on his dick? As Eminem used to say. On the 57mm shell. The 57mm mortar round was used by the Royal Artillery in the Second World War as anti-tank rounds, though it would later also be used by British tanks in North Africa. A spokesperson for the Gloucestershire Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust said, "We can confirm that the police and explosive ordnance team attended Gloucestershire Royal Hospital. As with any incident involving munitions, the relevant safety protocols were followed to ensure that there was no risk to patients, staff, or visitors at any time. The unnamed patient was released from the hospital and expected to make a full recovery." How? Why? He's gonna have... Man, if that guy farted, like, that would be it. You just, boom, blow up like a meat bag. Boom! Like, you're like a fucking meat dynamite or something. I don't know, you're just like a... You know, you're a meat bomb. Boom! And there's all that meat just covers you. It's like when they kill a tremor. And the tremors, too, when they were using the shotguns and getting on trucks and blowing them up, and they would just blow up into meat, and meat would just rain everywhere. That's what happens to you when that thing, if you fart, and that thing goes off. Boom! You're just completely done. Blow up like a fucking just meat everywhere. Meat confetti.
Meat.
Cult leader found mummified, wrapped in Christmas lights. Seven members charged with abuse of a corpse and child abuse. In Colorado, several members of a group called Love is One are facing charges after they found their leader was found mummified in Christmas lights at a home in Sagatch County, Colorado on Wednesday. According to the Sagatch County Sheriff's Office, seven members of the Love Is One cult have been charged with abuse of a corpse and child abuse. They were all arrested on Wednesday, April 28th. In court documents, another member of the Love Is One cult, Miguel Lamboy, notified Salida police of the death of Leah Carson. Carson is believed to be the leader of Love Is One and goes by the name Mother God. Lamboy told police that Castillo Robertson, Raymond and Kramer... Yeah, I know, that's starting to sound like a bunch of old sitcoms from the 90s got together, but that's not what we're talking about here. But I seriously did think of Everybody Loves Raymond and Kramer from Seinfeld. And this is something Kramer would do. Asked him if they could spend the night on April the 27th at his Crestone, Colorado home, according to the arrest affidavit. When Lamboy returned to his home, he found Carlson dead and she was missing her eyes. He also mentioned that the body appeared to be mummified with Carlson's teeth exposed through the lips. Love is One is a group known to take people from all over the world, according to court documents. The Sagosh County Sheriff's Office has received many complaints from families within the United States saying that the group is brainwashing people and stealing their money. Well, they probably are. A search warrant was conducted of Lamboy home, and all seven people inside were arrested. Police also found the corpse of a woman in the back bedroom. Wow. According to arrest papers, the mummified remains were found lying on a bed wrapped in what appears to be a sleeping bag. The mummified remains have what appears to be glitter-type makeup on around the eyes. The mummified remains are decorated with Christmas tree lights and some sort of shine. Lamboy believes the mummified remains were transported to his home from California. I'm looking at the people here responsible for that. The daughter of Raymond was also found home. She's 13 years old. Lamboy's 2-year-old son was also home too. They were sleeping at the time of the search warrant. Sagosh County Department of Social Services was called. All seven people are being held in the Rio Grande County Jail, but will be tried by the 12th Judicial Branch. They're scheduled to be in court Wednesday, May 5th at 1:30 p.m., and they're being held on a $2,000 bond, so they'll probably be let out. Yep, that's them, all right. Okay, so we covered that. Well, shit. I'll read the chats and we'll be done. Okay, only thing I've got here is LOL. GL gets his black card. Oh, yeah, Grimlord gets his black card. Yeah, pretty much. Okay, thank you guys for joining us. That's all the articles we actually have. Like, no, seriously, I ran out. That's all I was asked to cover. And I hope you guys have a good night, day, or whatever. And this will be the Grimlord, and I am out of here. Hopefully I'll feel better next week. Later.